Welcome to the Critical Eye Leadership Podcast. My name is Mark Barber, Managing Editor at Critical Eye, and today we will be looking at key findings from research conducted with attendees at our 2018 CEO Retreat. To discuss the findings, I'm delighted to have with me Matthew Black, CEO of Critical Eye, and Neil Griffiths, a non-executive director on the boards of CityPub Company and Starstock, as well as being a board mentor at Critical Eye. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
I think the starting point has to be around this word disruption and the pace of change that we're hearing a lot about in the marketplace at the moment. In the research, 86% of CEOs said they are grappling with disruption, and yet only 17% are fully confident in the ability of their leadership team to navigate it successfully. Matthew, if I could start with you in your own experience as a CEO and what you're seeing in the market with the different executives that you're and CEOs that you're talking to in your role at Critical Eye. What kind of disruption do you see businesses facing?
I think really you've got to get to sort of the real rub of the issue here. It's the speed of change that's really creating the challenging environment that I think that we're in at the moment. I think that the news and the information flows so fast that it's hard not to be reactive in leadership. And I think that's probably where you get into this interesting tension between changing fast and evolving and getting that balance right between continually evolving what you do to being radical and changing fundamentally. And I think for leaders, that's a really interesting area.
So actually judging the pace of change.
Judging the pace of change, understanding what you can achieve with change. I think it's really easy to set off with change without knowing why and what. And I think for big structured businesses, that's extremely dangerous. So I think there's this real balance of what culturally can we achieve with change and how do we achieve it. And I think, again, if you go back in history, that's not anything new.
Yeah.
I think it's just the fundamental element of that speed of change, the chipping away at business models from new entrants. It's just accelerating the potential uncertainty and how fast you become legacy.
Because that is the common refrain, if you like, regardless of sector, that you hear from CEOs, it's adjusting to that speed that they're having to deal with.
I think so, and they're human beings, and for their ability to process, take things in and lead through that, I think is increasingly difficult. And again, I don't think there's anything new in here. I think you can use specific terms, but ultimately it's just the speed, and it's just getting faster and faster.
Neil, what's your view?
It's a very good question. I think a lot of us think about it as being technological there.
Yes.
But obviously there's other areas. The last business I was exec within became a regulated industry overnight. We didn't prepare for the worst and hope for the best. We actually found ourselves in a position where we absolutely believed a Tory government wouldn't allow this type of regulation. It was literally four or five Tory party members who voted against the government, and the legislation went through. So we went from absolutely nowhere to having legislation coming within 6 months. The disruption within business was huge. And I think one of the problems you've got is we were a very lean business. There was no spare capacity in terms of people to focus on the regulation changes, etc. Literally, the eye comes off the business. I think that's one of the problems.
So the bandwidth, the leadership team, you weren't prepared for what was coming that year.
No, we weren't. I mean, we saw it coming, but we absolutely believed it would not happen. We'd had 16 referrals in 40 years and none had been successful. But like many businesses, I think at the moment, it is about being as lean as possible. Overheads have got to be cut. You've got to be as profitable as you can. You don't have those people within the organisation who can drop everything and immediately turn to something that's coming along. So I think also it's about being prepared for the change. Matthew said it's the speed. If you're in an industry which is based, so for example, on wholesaling, and you see Amazon coming, you want to disbelieve it for a long time because you're a wholesaler and you will disappear overnight. So there's a bit of a head in the sand moment, hoping for the best, and not actually preparing for a seismic change that's coming your way.
Would you agree with that?
I would. I think that the only thing I would say is I think that leadership and boards can get sucked into short-term indicators and driving short-term returns. And I think that great leadership is knowing when you should be taking the cash out of the traditional business and investing in the forward change engine and balancing it. And I do think at times, you know, you see businesses in any ownership structure, and sad enough, we often end up working them where they've left it too late.
Yeah.
And there's a balance, I think, that you've got to do. And you've got to invest for the future. And I think when indicators are all pointing to the past, I think that's when you get real challenge.
Do you think some of this short-termism that you're referring to, is that an inherent flaw in the PLC model, perhaps, which are creating challenges for boards?
From my perspective, no, I think it's the same. Whatever the ownership structure, at times pendulum go in certain directions, and I think private equity, if I look at it recently, I think that the time PE's held companies has been shorter and shorter, in a lot of access to financial instruments, and as such, I think that actually the engineering and the changes in business has been more limited. So they've driven a shorter term agenda. At times, listed companies can have a very long term view. At times, they can have an incredibly short term view. I think that, sadly, I think the industries can get caught on short term indicators, and maybe you're articulating one retail might be in that case now. And then it's very hard to be long term if everyone's focusing short term. Conversely, there can be points when organisations, for whatever reason, are driving that short term performance.
Yeah. Okay. I agree with Mark. I mean, one of the biggest problems you've got is where are you in your business cycle? So yes. If I'm in a growth business, everything's going well, I have enough funds to actually start thinking about other things. As soon as I come into X growth, things start to tighten up, as you talked about before. What do you do? You remove one of your greatest resources, your people, to get the overheads and the costs down. And all of a sudden, you're into a vicious spiral in terms of what am I doing? How am I responding? And then if you've got a technology or a disruptive which is outside of your industry, that's very difficult to plan for because it wasn't even on my horizon. So if it catches me when I'm cash strapped, then I will continue to focus on my short term as opposed to my longer term options.
The second finding there is that only 17% are fully confident in the ability of the leadership team to navigate it successfully. That strikes me as remarkably low. Why do you think that the confidence is at that level, and why isn't it higher?
I think leadership's inherently difficult, and I think that we exist for that exact purpose, that you're dealing with people, you're dealing with complex things, and lining them up is very, very, very easy to do in an MBA course or in a theoretical example. We've all gone and looked at things and, you know, quite quickly reorganised their business, and it's perfect. The reality of actually doing that when you're in this situation, I think, is much more difficult. And, you know, just the sheer volumes that you get in terms of the time pressures that you're under and moving those different parts and moving the systems to point to the future and not lag, what are your KPIs? You know, to go through everything from the very top of purpose and value through to then the structure and things is, I think, incredibly hard. So I think there's always a degree of natural insecurity in leadership.
Let's come on to this question around forward thinking. One of the findings from our research shows that 38% of CEOs go 6 months or more without discussing strategy with their leadership team. Why do we think this is happening, and is it a cause for concern? Neil, could I come to you first?
Sure, yeah. It's an interesting one because it's a question of what type of business you're in.
Yes.
So if I'm in the mining business and I've got a large swathe of land and my strategy is to find gold, 6 months in, I know I've drilled X holes and not found it, I need to drill Y more.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to understand the base that is being asked from, because 6 months in many businesses is absolutely fine. If it's a question of 6 months before we ask ourselves, are we hitting the KPIs towards our strategic plan, I would be worried. Because then you could have easily gone in the wrong direction for a period. So there's a difference between discussing the strategic plan, which may allude to let's change it, or is it discussing it to say we're on track, we know what we're doing, are we sure that everybody else within the business is on track?
Matthew?
I'd slightly challenge that in this. From everything that we see in Critical Eye, I think that there isn't enough time spent discussing strategically within the team, and I think that's a wide definition. But if you take the analogy of the mining sort of story, well, shouldn't there be a regular conversation to say, we're not going to make this, we should be buying something else, what's our capital? You know, for me, I think that there should be more discussion. And when you get into what we see in Critical Eye, it's surprising how often the sort of people get caught up in the structure of the business and the operational structures, and they don't actually spend much time talking without those unencumberments to then look at what's changing, how the world's changing, and then link to where they're going against it. And I think that's the bit that we certainly see in Critical Eye. And I think that if you take the theory that the 3 or 5 year strategy plan is dead, you're on a 1 year strategy plan, then you've got to kind of constantly be on that. And I do think that if you...
Do we believe that? Sorry to cut in there, because I remember interviewing a CEO of a very large media company about 6 years ago, saying the 5 year strategy is dead. Are we really at a point where that kind of long-term planning isn't feasible in the environment we're describing, where industries can change, competitors can emerge from completely outside?
I think it depends again where you are. So for example, one of the businesses I was in, we knew it was such a big business,
yeah,
we knew it was going to take 5 years to be able to turn it around. Now, that didn't mean to say, Matthew's challenge is absolutely right, that didn't mean to say you shouldn't constantly be reviewing what you're doing, but you review it and say, is the long-term goal still the long-term goal? I think that's a very good point. And what have we done so far? Has that actually achieved the milestones that we wanted towards that? Again, it's down to the type of business you're in, and I totally support Matthew's view that, you know, some businesses plan for a year, and that is very long-term.
Yeah. And it's that need to review and benchmark. I think that's what leadership teams need to be more cognizant of. Would you agree with that, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, I think that if you've obviously got a spectrum with industries that invest over a very long period of time, if you're developing a new engine, you know, it's a long-term development. But I think that the point around this is you've got to constantly be refreshing yourself about what's happening while you're doing that. You know, materials are changing. You know, you set off today and it was to build a new engine in 10 years' time. Actually, the world could have shifted by the time you get to that. And I think great teams have that capacity, you know, that they're able. I think one of the things that came out of the NED retreat, which was really powerful, was the NED's role in that strategic debate and the need to constantly refresh that, as opposed to governments, to make sure that you're constantly on that position. And I think that's the bit.
There seems to be a better awareness. That really is a responsibility of the independent director to make sure that the execs are thinking about the meeting.
And I think that's a very important piece, because the strategic debate may just be an external challenge. I've noticed that this is coming along, how does this impact us? And I think that's probably the piece that's missing in the exec boardroom, because they don't have that external influence, they don't have the external benchmarks, and where are they getting their stimulus from? Because it's very difficult in many boards to actually look outside of your own business, because your competitors may not want to talk to you for fear of losing advantage.
Yes.
So how do you get those execs reaching outside of that and going into other businesses, which are non-compete industries, to try and get their learners? I think that's the sort of catalyst that you really need to use going forward.
Just coming back to the original point about five-year plans, I'm never a massive believer in something that has a 5 year, it's got a very rigid feel to it, you know.
Yeah.
This is my plan. That seems to me to be quite naive from a leadership perspective, because, you know, one of the things we all know is that a plan and theory is only as good as when it touches the market, and then it all changes. And I think that you should have an agility, you should have an ambition, you should have statements. I think you strip it down to having a 5 year plan. That sounds very, very rigid. And I think that's a question I would have about the culture in a business, in a modern environment. Because if you take the theory the plan has to link to the culture of the company, then it has to have an ability to evolve and mold. So it can't be too rigid. That's where I do think...
You set out a clear direction, but there's absolutely flexibility within that journey to respond accordingly.
And one of the businesses I've done some work with recently has definitely got a midterm plan. But... every other Tuesday, they have an innovations day. And effectively, the commercial team will sit there, and external suppliers or internal operators, employees, can bring their ideas into the business. So effectively, they're bringing in things every week that may stimulate something that changes the structure of the business.
And I think stripping it down, you know, there's a company where we do some work with the board at the moment where effectively they're, it's a turnaround position, and all the expectations of the market are wrong, and they're based on legacy. And the reality is they've got to actually really, really refine where they are, and then reposition themselves in the marketplace. And until they do that, it's an incredibly bumpy ride.
Does that partly feed into the stat from the CEO research of only 23% have full confidence in the leadership team to execute on the medium to long-term strategy? Do you think that's indicative of the uncertainty that a lot of companies are grappling with at the moment?
I think that's a question again. Are you uncertain that your team can execute the current plan? That would be a big problem. If is there concern that there may be something coming that they're not ready for, that would be a different question altogether. And again, I go back to the point that, you know, you need to be developing your own teams to be the very best they can be. And I think, from Matthew's point, in terms of legacy, it's the same team that's been here for 5 years. They were fine before. Well, the market may have changed significantly. And as a CEO, what have you used? How have you used external people, internal people to develop your teams for the future? And have you reviewed them to make sure you believe they are the right people for the future? Which may be very different to what's happened in the past.
I suppose I'm interested in this point of, I think, what you're seeing in different businesses, that CEOs, many of them understand that they have a team in place that can help them win today, but it's not going to be right for tomorrow. And adjusting to that is a very, very challenging situation to be in.
I think that the leadership piece around skills and capability is incredibly hard. And I think that's what reflects the statistics, because you're dealing with people who are inherently fallible. And you've got a question mark as a CEO. Is it better to have a team where you know their weaknesses, but ultimately they also, you also know their strengths? Or is it better to have a team that you continually refresh and bring new people in to add and zest? And I think most CEOs would say they don't want to continually bring new people in, because every time you bring someone in, you're injecting positive negative into it. And so I think most CEOs will probably recognise there's a compromise that you make within the structure that you have and within the team, and it's the degree of the compromise that you're prepared. And it will depend on where you are on your journey, but I think that's realistic. And I always worry when, you know, we go into a talk to a CEO and they're trying to build the perfect team, because I kind of feel that you're trying to create something that doesn't exist and shouldn't exist.
I think you're right. I mean, the perfect team is a very difficult one, because, you know, talking about, do I bring somebody in externally, develop internally? It's all about timing. I may spend 5 years getting the right person internally, 6 months before they go into the right role, and they're off doing something else with somebody else. So it is a huge balancing act. That doesn't mean to say you shouldn't do it. I think the enlightened CEO will say, I need to develop my people to be the very best they can be. And what tools have I got to do that? How can people help me? What am I looking for? And that's not about the knowledge base necessarily of the individual. It's about the ability of the individual to maybe move from being a manager to a leader, change their capabilities, their strategic thinking, and their skill base.
Do you think there's still there is a tendency at the moment to look for the magic bullet external appointment? Or is there a greater awareness that you should be trying to develop people from within?
I think that great leaders create great teams, great leaders. So I think that in leadership, it should be one of the key things that you do is try and bring people through at all levels of the business, because to me that is something that is the legacy. I think for people's hard, and I think for boards it's a particularly hard subject, because it's much easier to bring someone in from outside than to promote from an exco who you haven't got the exposure of. An external candidate can look incredibly attractive. I think there's two questions around external. It's one culturally fit, and what are they going to bring to the table? Because unless you culturally understand that, particularly if you're talking CEO, I think it's. And secondly, how much change do you need? And I think there's points where you have to go external, because by its very nature, any internal candidate will not be radical enough, and you've got to break the current culture. And I think it's very much an assessment, but I always think it's interesting that people tend to lean towards an outside appointment, even though statistically it's not necessarily backed up.
Okay, we'll close there. I'd like to give my thanks to Matthew and Neil for their comments today on some of the findings from our CEO research. Do keep a lookout for more podcasts on leadership, strategy, and high-performing teams by visiting our website, www.criticaleye.com.